You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Buck, Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that used to be Twitter. It is Friday, February 7th. Today, the average price of a gallon of milk in Wisconsin, $3.14. And the average price for a dozen grade A large eggs here in Wisconsin, $5.17, same as yesterday. Yeah. We have a very busy show coming up for you today. After the 10:30 news, retired Major General Randy Manner will be joining us. We talked to him numerous times leading up to the election, spent more than 30 years in the U.S. military, and has some insight into some of the changes that the second Trump administration has instituted, especially when it comes to, you know, this hiring freeze, the purging of workers, how this is going to affect our veterans who get their health care at the VA.
Yep.
All kinds of other ramifications from some of the moves that have already happened. This is only week three. So Randy Manner will be joining us to talk about what this is going to mean and what this is going to mean for us. It might seem really far away when we talk about some of these things, but we have a lot of veterans in Wisconsin.
This government is gigantic, and some people may say, pare it down, slice
it down. Kill it all.
No, that's not how you can do it, regardless of what your uncle says. But I remember having Randy Manner on, and Andrew Watkins was on yesterday, and we had Mr. Global on talking about these things.
He's going to be here Monday, by the way.
Wonderful. That wasn't just a plug. Before the election, it was like, all right, here are the things we need to do. And now it's all like, here's the things we need to do to prep for what's going to probably happen. Because that's just, we're seeing it now every day. We're seeing it every single day.
In real time.
Yep.
So Randy Manner will be here after the 10:30 news. I hope you can stick around for that. It's Friday. That means Dan Schaefer will be here from the Recombobulation area. He is also Civic Media's political editor. Going to be talking about a number of things, including, I would imagine this just broke this morning, Megan Wolf is allowed to keep her job as the head of the Wisconsin Elections Commission. So we will be talking about with that. Also about that, rather, Dan also has a new column in the Recombobulation area about all the things the Trump campaign did right leading up to the election.
Yep.
Because they obviously did. They won.
Yep.
So Dan Schaefer will be here at 11 o'clock. We'll wrap everything up as we usually do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the Under the Sea edition, and there's a visual element involved. We'll include the video in the show notes. And by the way, if you've never checked that out, every day after the show, Greg posts our 2 hours. They're broken down into 1 hour segments, and you include articles that we've talked about and other things if you want to read more about these things. Check it out. Civicmedia.us. Click on shows at the very top, go to Matinair on Air, and then that gives you an archive of like the last 100 shows.
Yep. You could also actually get an archive of This Shouldn't Be a Thing as well. That is also posted now, even more sleek. You get it's not even the segment, not even the full last segment. It is just that morsel of goodness we call Tisbat. But you can find that as well.
Subscribe.
Go to your favorite podcast distribution center of choice. Subscribe. Give us a 5-star review if you think we have earned that. And also, if you're on the social medias, why not follow us on social media, Matinair on Air and Civic Media US. We're all over the place.
We really are.
We're everywhere. You can't stop us.
You can try.
Well, yeah.
All right. We're going to start off, though. We did talk about this a little bit yesterday. The race for state superintendent of public instruction.
Yeah.
There are three candidates. Two are Democrats. One is a Republican. And they held a forum yesterday. Not everybody showed up.
No, they did not.
Two candidates in the state superintendent race. This from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, from Kelly Meyerhofer and Hope Carnop. Jill Underley was not there.
Yes.
Sauk Prairie School District Superintendent Jeff Wright and Jill Underley are both Democrats. Education consultant Brittany Kinzer calls herself a moderate. She is backed by Republicans. I question that moderate title, considering she apparently has the endorsement from someone aligned with Moms for Liberty.
She also likes Act 10, so.
She likes Act 10, and yeah.
Tell me how moderate you are when you like Act 10.
Now, we had a text come in yesterday that I didn't have time to address because we had moved on at that point, mm-hmm. and said, Wisconsin is not doing well. We need some changes. And I don't disagree.
Agree.
I really don't. We've got problems with test scores and everything in Wisconsin. But I don't know that turning it over to a fan of choice and voucher schools is the answer to fix our public schools. It seems to me that migrating all these kids out of the public school system into private institutions, which are getting taxpayer dollars, is the right answer to fix public schools.
I don't disagree with you. I think that, for one thing, I don't even know, do moderates exist? Second of all, like I said, if you believe in Act 10, if that's something you believe in, and you're also sponsored by Moms for Liberty, and you also believe in the voucher system, then you're not moderate. You aren't, period. And if you're not going to give me some sort of plan that shows how we are going to use the public school tax dollars to make the public schools better, then sorry, that's personally not what I'm interested in. Jeff Wright had some great things to say, both in the interviews he's been giving. You can find him on Up North News Radio.
He talked to Pat Crutwell
Wednesday, mm-hmm. and it's about finding a common sense solution. No one can say schools are great. No one can say public schools are amazing. They're doing great right now. No notes. But there are ways of making them better that aren't about upending them and, of course, leaving many, many, many children behind.
Well, and this is something we've talked about, and I don't know whether or not this cuts through, so we're going to repeat it again. Voucher and charter schools are able to reject any student that they want.
Mm-hmm.
Any student.
Yes.
Now, keep in mind that they can accept a student, take our tax dollars,
yep.
and then decide to expel that student, and they get to keep the money.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It is also my understanding that private and charter schools do not have to answer to any kind of oversight board on their results.
Yeah.
What are their test scores? What are their reading scores? Yeah. What are those? We have two separate school systems that are not governed by the same sets of rules.
And they're also not governed by the same sets of dollars too. I mean, if I'm not mistaken, in the special needs portion of schooling, I think it's a very low, like 10 or 20%. Is reimbursed for special needs schooling to the public.
Massively underfunded.
90 for the voucher schools, for the private schools. That doesn't seem correct to me. You either make it equal or nothing, because that just doesn't seem right nor fair. It's almost like they're rigging the game.
No, they wouldn't do that. Yeah. Jill Underley apparently had already said that she had a conflict for this forum yesterday. But again, two of the candidates, Sauk Prairie School District Superintendent Jeff Wright and Brittany Kinzer, were there at this forum yesterday. The state's Head Start programs also were part of the discussion. Head Start's very important, and Head Start, unfortunately, in Wisconsin, after the Trump administration, day two, shut down all funding, mm-hmm. there are still Head Starts in Wisconsin that can't access money.
Yep.
And they're end of this month. If these glitches, if you want to call it, aren't resolved.
Yeah.
It's not good.
No, it's not.
Jeffrey Wright did say that the amount schools get for special education students must increase, but he also said schools don't need $4 billion from the Wisconsin surplus, which Jill Underley has called for in her budget request. And that was one of the, when I first saw that too, I thought, that's a big overreach.
Robin Voss has already said the non-starter. It's his one of his favorite terms, dead on arrival. He believes that the Wisconsin State Legislature has given they've given the biggest increase in the public school funding in a generation, but that's because it was so woefully and disgustingly underfunded that giving them $20 more would have seemed like a good deed. But $4 billion, whether that was a bargaining chip to say, I want $4 billion, but what I really want is $2 billion, and I'll negotiate down. We don't know because Jill Underlie wasn't there.
True.
And this is the only debate they're going to have before the primary.
Well, the primary is coming up. It's February 18th.
It's a week from Tuesday, folks.
Yeah, it's going to be here before you know it. Brittany Kinzer does say that she supports increasing the special education reimbursement rate, as well as more money for rural schools' transportation needs. You're going to have to talk to Sean Duffy about that, Brittany.
Well.
Because Sean Duffy wants our dollars to be concentrated where the marriage and childbirth rates are highest. So if you're in a rural area and you're not doing your job to keep the population going, I don't know if you're going to get any extra money. Duffy's already said that's his priority.
I know.
And Brittany Kinzer did call for more budget transparency to ensure that money goes to classrooms, not bureaucracy. I don't disagree with that.
But which classrooms? Which classrooms? Are they schools located in private schools? Private school classrooms? Charter school classrooms? Or are they public school classrooms?
According to this article in the Journal Sentinel, the state's teacher workforce is also in trouble. Enrollment in educator preparation programs is below the levels they saw in 2008 and 2009.
Weird, Jane. In a state where the governor at the time, Scott Walker, worked to rip apart the bargaining abilities of the teachers and then also just use the worst language about them, why wouldn't people want to be teachers in Wisconsin?
You mean because of the way we demonize them?
Yeah, it made them the villain of the story.
Yeah, it made them the villain of everything. 855-752-4842. If you'd like to join us, David, I see you on the line. We'll take you when we get back. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
A swing man, she can hurt. She don't mean no harm. She just don't know what else to do about it. Jane says.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Sweet Galby on the board coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call and or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We have an election a week from Tuesday, February 18th. Is the primary election here in Wisconsin. There will be some school board races particular to your community, but the one race that is the race, the primary for the head of the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction. There will be three people on the ballot. They had a candidate forum yesterday. Jill Underlie, who is the current head of DPI, was unable to make it. She said she had a previous commitment, but Jeff Wright and Brittany Risner were
Kinzer.
Thank you. We're there. So So we were just talking about that and what we would like to see happen for Wisconsin schools, public schools in particular. If you would like to join us again, 855-752-4842. Dave from MEC 1 on the line. Good morning, Dave. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. I'm very glad that you guys are talking about this subject. Couple things I want to bring to your attention. Number one, MPS. Passed a budget of $1.5 billion back in October of last year, okay?
Yep.
And in that amount, now keep in mind, when the referendum was passed, Jill Underlie, after the fact, after the referendum passed, oh, by the way, MPS doesn't have their financial books in order that was supposed to be done and submitted into the state of Wisconsin. Consequently, there was state aid that was withheld of about $81 million initially because of the lack of, with the bookkeeping. And then ultimately, Keith Posley, who was the superintendent, got all that money with the federal dollars, and there was no accountability for that. And we have, I'm just going to mention this, so MPS, which is the largest public school district in the entire state, 77,000 and change with students. 9% is the proficiency of math and reading. It was just in the Journal Sentinel recently.
Yeah, Dave, we're not disputing that the results are not good.
Yeah. What's,
that's not up for dispute. I guess my question is, why do we want someone who is a big proponent of charter and voucher schools to head our public school system? Doesn't that seem to be at cross purposes?
Well, I'll tell you, the kids right now are losing, and the parents are losing drastically by putting the kids into a failing system. Something has to change, and it hasn't changed. It's been going on for decades.
I understand, and I'm not disputing that. But again, do charter schools and voucher schools have the same kind of reporting that they have to do? Who is their oversight committee? What are their results like? It's my understanding that there are different sets of rules for these two different school systems that we're funding.
Yeah, so, it'd be interesting to have as a guest. I think you should have Gus Ramirez, who's the gentleman that Gus Ramirez, he's the family that took over the Cardinal Stritch College, and they're going to build a school out there and redo that, and they did a big one on the south side, and it's him, and it's for the benefit of the students on the primarily now. This is going to be for the north side. He's already got the one open on the south side. And I do think there needs to be a conversation to be had for this because it's not talked about, but he has slowly but surely transformed. If you look at the schools that they're running, they're fantastic.
Okay. Calvin, do you have a thought on this?
Well, yeah, because Dave has brought this point up on our shows before about this gentleman who runs this private school in Milwaukee, and I've looked up this school, and the tuition is extremely high, and this, he's helping uplift these underserved kids. If your family cannot afford tuition, they have to apply for state financial aid. Doesn't sound like he's being all that generous to me.
Well, and also, that's, if there's a person out there who wants to start a school for underserved people, that's great. The moment they have to get for public tuition or if they have to enter into the voucher system, that means that our tax dollars are paying for that. So what we're really looking for, Dave's gone, are solutions, are real solutions for a state, not just MPS. MPS is a problem. There are problems with MPS.
No question.
But a statewide solution or solutions that do this, not just send them to private school.
Yeah, that's not everyone can afford to do that.
Nope.
And we should not be funding two entirely separate school systems. I don't think that's fair.
Nope, it's not.
And again, I just question whether or not it is appropriate to have a proponent of charter and voucher schools in charge of public schools in Wisconsin. As I said to Dave, to me, that seems like they're at cross purposes.
It definitely seems like they're going to be serving a private master.
So. And pushing things that way.
Agreed, yeah.
I would have less of a problem if the same kind of reporting required of public schools was required of charter and voucher schools. And as far as I know, and if I'm wrong, please tell me, that's not what it is.
For me, it wouldn't just be the reporting and the accountability. It's just also the fact that it's the tax dollar issue, because you send a kid to school, you know that it costs a certain amount to teach them a year. Whereas my old high school, where I went to high school in Waukesha, is now more expensive than some public universities in this state. So for me, it is a tax dollar issue. You want to make those private schools public now? They're now public schools, and we funnel the money in through ones. Cool.
Oh, yeah, that's not going to.
Let's do that.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. We have news coming up next, and then when we return, retired Major General Randy Manner will be joining us. It is week three of the second Trump administration. Lots of things have happened already, a lot of things in the works. Randy Manner going to talk about what this means for us, you and me, even here in Wisconsin. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air Media Radio Network. Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream, on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. You can also reach out, send an email to Jane Says, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, Jane Says at civicmedia.us. If you ever have a suggestion for a guest or a topic in your community you think needs a highlight, even hate mail, we make sure Calvin sees it. No, I read every email. Send it to Jane Says, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, at civicmedia.us. Honored to welcome our next guest back to the show. Randy Manner is here, and we were saying off the air, Randy, one day I'd like to have you come back on so we can just talk about your hobbies. You know, maybe a whittler or something. That would be nice.
Yeah. I create kites and do kite flying, by the way.
Oh! So, yeah.
Today is not that day, unfortunately. Yes. Donald Trump has been in office now for all of 3 weeks, and some pretty major executive orders have already gone out, and the ripple effect is only beginning to be seen. I wanted to start with you, Mr. Manner, with the Secretary of Defense and this whole DEI accusations going back to this horrific crash that happened between the helicopter and the passenger plane outside of Washington. Before we even knew what happened, before we even knew the names of the victims, the Trump administration was coming out saying, well, this is because of DEI.
Yes. So it's important for your listeners to understand that the president is the president, and he is able to give out lawful orders. So the president decided he wanted to get rid of DEI in the military, all DEI programs. That is his prerogative. On the other hand, it's important to also say that when there is a terrible loss of life and tragedy, it is nothing less than irresponsible to imply that there is a DEI component, that the pilot of the Army helicopter, who, by the way, was a woman, and an extremely well-trained and well-qualified woman. It is disparaging, before there's been any investigation, to make those kind of statements as the commander in chief. So notice that I am trying to balance between what are legal things the president can and should do, whether or not we agree or not, and what I'm going to call being preemptive about blaming something that is just out of line and inappropriate.
Again, we didn't have any details yet. We didn't know anything. We didn't even know which pilots were on board that Army helicopter, and they were blaming DEI. And I don't know if folks are aware of this, but that female pilot, her family kept her name intentionally out of the press for the first couple of days because they were so afraid of the backlash. This is where we are in this country.
Yes, it's the one important thing is that we all have the freedom of speech that is still guaranteed in our country
today.
As long as you are not threatening someone else, then we all of us have that right. Regretfully, there are people who are quite frankly equivalent to brown shirts in the 1930s in Germany who are bullies and thugs who want to attack other people. And I've been attacked. That's part of it, comes with the territory. That's not being responsible and it's not constructive. We should all be able to speak up, each for our own beliefs, as long as we do not try to threaten anyone else.
Well, we should be able to speak up without getting doxxed, which or swatted, or have death threats or other threats come to us. But that's where we are now. It's terrifying.
My heart goes out to all of the lives that were lost that day, both on the commercial aircraft as well as the Army aircraft. There will be lessons learned as a result about what happened relative to the flight paths, relative to the air traffic control, relative to decisions that were made or not made. It will all come out. The important thing is to let the investigators do their job that are qualified to do it.
As far as I understand, and correct me if I'm wrong, the tests are the same, male, female, whatever. In order to become a pilot in the U.S. Army, you are getting the same test, correct?
100% correct. That is absolutely correct. There's no quote unquote, oh, you're Hispanic or black or white or female or male, so therefore you get plus or minus points on your tests that you do to become an aviator. There is no such thing. It's absolutely false if anybody implies that.
And sir, I want to just reiterate what you had said before about the qualifications of this helicopter pilot. She was qualified and trained and absolutely able to do her job. This is not a matter.
She had thousands of hours in the air.
And so she was not some brand new pilot that maybe had 50 hours. I mean, or some small number. This is a seasoned pilot. So we just need to be able to step back, take a few deep breaths, and let the investigators do their job. Now, you can imagine my concern, as a leader of literally small units in the Army to even tens of thousands of military members, is that the president absolutely has the authority to remove all DEI programs. My concern is, what is this going to do to young women, 18, 19, 20 years old, as well as other than white males, who look at what is going on and say, I'm feeling that people are getting blamed if they're women or if they are minorities for quote unquote not being good enough. I mean, just without any data or facts behind it. So maybe, I'm going to go ahead and work for a different company. I'm not going to serve my country. And while indeed it's possible that white male recruiting, especially from red counties, may increase as a result of the new strategy the president is putting into place, it is my blunt opinion that in the next 6 months to a year, we will see a further decrease of minorities and, quite frankly, women. I think that's the concern that we have when we're trying to have our country reflect our people, not have we're having a military that reflects our country and all the people that are in it, not a military that reflects one particular philosophy. The military must be apolitical and must follow all lawful orders from the president in the protection of our citizens and our great nation.
And I also, I mean, if that is their goal, is to have it more reflective of what they see as, I'm saying from their point of view, the quote unquote right way of looking and being, which is whether it's white and male. There aren't enough young white men in this country, 18 to 22, who can fill all of the spots that are left. Because you have people who can come in and they can do, when I say simpler, I don't mean disrespect, but people who can do easier trained tasks. But then you need people like helicopter pilots. You need people in computers. You need people with the ability to look at intelligence and interpret it and pass it along in briefings. Are there enough people to fill those holes now? Will there be?
So the answer is there are enough people out there. Whether or not they are motivated to join the military in the past few years or in the next few years is really going to be a sign. Now, please understand that the requirements for joining the military on average are higher than they were, let's say, 10 or 20 years ago. There are fewer waivers for education. There are fitness requirements. There are health requirements. And so the sad thing is our nation, as we know, people are gaining weight. They're not as in good health. They may have criminal activities that prevent them from getting a clearance in our military. There's lots of issues that do get in the way. I do believe that our military and our young people in our country need to be represented equally and fairly in our military, no matter what your background. And it's important to say in the military, and I say this strongly, and there's some of your listeners who are not going to agree with me, and that's their right, is that in the military, we don't care what your gender, your race, your religion is. We only care, can you do your job? Or am I going to possibly die because you didn't do your job?
Right.
I want to know you can do your job. That's what counts.
Will, do you have my back? Will you be able to have my back? That's what it's about, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely correct.
If you're just joining us, retired Major General Randy Manner is our guest, and we're talking about some of the executive orders that have come out from the Trump administration just in the first 3 weeks. I saw something also this week. There is an agency of the NSA, and it involved code breakers, and they actually were covered. They had a wall honoring people who had served in this particular capacity, and they were covering up the photos of women and people of color until there was such an outcry about it that they had to undo that.
I had not heard that. If that indeed happened, that is a tragedy, and I'm glad that it was undone. One thing that I need to also tell your viewers, if you're not agreeing with all these things, and maybe if you're frustrated, what can you do about this? I mean, can I just take a minute on that one?
Please. Thing?
Okay, so what can you do? The number one thing you should do, everybody who's listening to me, who might, if you feel frustrated or angry, focus on what you can impact. I say again, focus on what you can impact. Your family, your friends, your work, your community, your church, and yourself. You've got to be happy in the things that you can control. The second thing, don't whine. Don't whine. Stop whining. I don't want to hear the whining. Okay? Number three, disconnect from social media. It typically will just spin you up and make you angry. Disconnect from social media. And the fourth one, and this is very, very important, find the courage. No matter where you live, find the courage to speak up to your elected officials, whether they are Republican or Democrat, it doesn't matter. If you are silent, then your elected official at the local, state, or federal level will think you completely agree
yes.
with whatever it is you're doing.
Yes.
So email them, text them, write them. And I encourage everyone to do that. And that's something where it takes courage to do it. If you say nothing, that means you agree with whatever your representative or senator is advocating.
Silence equals acceptance.
Correct.
We talk about this all the time, Randy, about people reaching out and calling your representatives, myvote.wi.gov, by the way. All you have to do is put in your address, and all of the people who represent you, every single elected official comes up, and it has their phone numbers.
Yes. And remember, they are elected by the people of your district, and therefore they serve all the people. So speak up. And if and remember, if you say nothing, that is the same thing as agreeing with whatever your representative is doing. Now, if your senator or representative is doing something wonderful that you agree with, let them know that. You know, reinforcement is also positive. I mean, that's good. They want to hear that. We all don't want to be bashed for our opinions. So I'm just trying to encourage people to, number one, focus on what you can impact. Number two, stop whining. Number three, disconnect from social media. And number four, find the courage to reach out and to talk to your elected representatives.
I know we're all exhausted. I know there's a lot of frustration and bordering on despair. Do something. Do something. You will feel better. We're going to continue our conversation with Randy Manor, retired Major General from the U.S. Army. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach. The Galvanator on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. After our show, Todd Alba takes over from noon until 2 p.m. Join him today for a Super Bowl party preview with former Badger Brady Ewing and also Mike Clemens, our sports reporter, who is live from New Orleans. They'll be talking about that game, and I would assume really the main event on Sunday, which is Puppy Bowl 21. So that's coming your way with Todd from 2 to 4 p.m. today.
Team Scruff or Team Ruff?
Team Fluff.
Oh, Team Fluff. Sorry.
Team Fluff, Team Ruff. Fluff. Randy's on Fluff.
Yeah. All right. Fine.
Retired Major General Randy Manor is our guest, and we've been talking about some of the executive orders that the Trump administration has already instituted. We're in week three. We do have Ann from Chippewa Falls who is on the line. Go ahead, Ann. What did you want to say?
Yes, I agree. I think we need to flood the phone lines. I called our wonderful Senator Ron Johnson, and of course, you know, they give me push one for this, push two for this, three for that. I pushed one and nothing happened, and I got cut off. So then I called back again, and a secretary answered. And I just said, I didn't vote for Musk, and you need to hold him accountable. Eggs and gas are going up. I'm worried about public education. I'm worried about our national security. No, we got to stay bullshit.
And we are FCC compliant.
So anyways, I think it's really important that we flood the phone lines and tell them about our concerns, even if they don't want to listen. So,
absolutely. And I really appreciate you taking out the time to do that and calling you and Gene from Eau Claire. You and Gene from Eau Claire are very, very involved. Gene calls elected officials all the time.
Yeah.
Which is important. And we had been talking about that before the break. In the time we have left.
Please, no cussing.
Yeah. Please don't swear in air. That's just, you know, it's one of those things. We're not cable.
We're not yet.
Not yet. And with the FCC. These days, we want to behave as much as humanly possible. Like, I think that's really important to keep in mind. Let's talk a little bit, Randy, about the VA and these hiring freezes and these budget freezes. What is this going to mean for our veterans?
So I am concerned as a veteran myself, and the son of a veteran, the grandson of a veteran, and my son is a veteran as well, is that because of the hiring freezes and because of the offers of our retirement that the president has offered through executive order, the number of people that will be available to service the various programs to our veterans is going to be reduced. By what percentage, I don't know. I'm not sure that anybody knows yet. I find that there are parts of the VA that always were responsive to me or to my family, and I appreciate that very much. I am, at the same time, there were some parts of the VA that were not very responsive because they didn't have enough people to begin with. They had vacancies.
Right.
And now, because of the freeze and other issues and the retirements, there will be a reduction. And I'm all, by the way, I am fiscally conservative, so I do believe in smaller government. At the same time, I believe in efficiency, and I believe having the right people in the right jobs to be able to take care of our veterans who have served their country. So that concerns me quite a bit, and you should be concerned as well as the listeners. One important thing that I want to comment from that last caller who's calling in, remember that honey will catch more flies than something else.
Yes.
So try to always be kind to your elected officials and to the assistants.
Yes.
And then lastly, here's something that made a difference. Trump ordered all grants to be eliminated from the government. And guess what? Because calls went to senators and representatives, meaning Republicans also, guess what? All 55 grants in the Veterans Administration were reinstated 2 days ago. So that means the voice of the people matters. So speak up or be silent and deal with what happens.
Yep.
That's such a good point, though, Randy. They're only going to reverse themselves. And trust me, when they do reverse themselves, they're not going to come out and say, okay, people were really ticked off. That's why we changed our minds. That's not what they're going to say, even though that's what it is.
Right. And you know what? We don't care who gets credit. We just care that it takes care of our people, it takes care of our veterans with dignity and respect.
Going back to the VA, and I've talked to a number of veterans over the years that I've been doing this. Certainly the VA is far from perfect. It's far from perfect. But blowing up what we have isn't going... How is that going to make things better?
Right. It's got to be done very... it's got to be done with great deliberation and thought to not just... It's kind of like repairing or building an airplane in flight. You have to do it thoughtfully. You just don't say, the Elon Musk way, which is everybody with an odd number digit in your ending in your social security number, you're fired. That's not the way it can happen. And I know that I'm exaggerating when I say that, please. So all your listeners don't get bit.
You're not far off, though. you're not all that far off. Oh, and by the way, if anyone is listening who is considering taking one of these buyouts, cash the check first. Just a little thought there. Don't assume that he's going to come out and pay it, even though he says he will. There's kind of a history there that you may want to look at. Retired Major General Randy Manner, thank you so very, very much for your time. Really appreciate it. Down the road, we'll have you back. We'll talk about whittling and your favorite movies and stuff
like that. Kite
flying. Exactly.
And kite flying,
and
yes.
Kite flying. News is next. Stay close. You're listening to Matinee on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.